Jeff Passan, it is amazing to talk with you. You have a story out today about Roki Sasaki, a pitcher from Japan who's starting for his team in the World Baseball Classic semifinals today. But before we get into Roki Sasaki's life, his career, you were telling us before that there's a few Japanese words and ideas that are important to understand if we want to understand Sasaki. So what do we need to know before we get into this story?
Well, let's start with this, Sam. Roki Sasaki is a 21-year-old pitcher for the Chiba Lotte Marines. And he's someone who came to national prominence in Japan based on his performance at Koshien, which is like if you took March Madness and combined it with the Super Bowl. I mean, that's how big a deal this national high school baseball tournament is in Japan. And when Roki Sasaki was 17 years old, he threw a pitch 101.3 miles per hour. It was the fastest pitch that had ever been thrown by a high schooler in Japan, beating the previous record held by somebody named Shohei Ohtani, who you probably have heard of. So he's suddenly thrust into the limelight. And quite often at Koshien, if you are one of those pitchers who is eating up pitches and innings and striking guys out, they will start calling you Kaibutsu. And Kaibutsu is a Japanese word that means monster. Now, we know there's a great Japanese history of monsters in movies, whether it's King Kong or Godzilla. But if you're called a monster on the baseball field, Sam, that means you are special. And sometimes these monsters are just called Kaibutsu, but sometimes they're defined by the era that is taking place in Japan. Now, there have been 126 eras in Japan, and they are designated by the incoming emperor. And on May 1st, 2019, when Emperor Naruhito took over for his father, Emperor Akihito, he named the current era Deiwa. Now, that's a combination of two words. Dei, which is spelled R-E-I, means order. And wa, W-A, means harmony. And the idea of wa in Japanese baseball is imperative. The book by Robert Whiting, You Gotta Have Wa, is really the seminal text on Japanese baseball. And it lays out this idea that the individual is not that important, but that the harmony of the team, the idea that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, really is what it takes to be successful in Japanese baseball. And honestly, there are guys like Ohtani or Daisuke Matsuzaka, or in this case, Roki Sasaki, who, even though wa is such a vital part of Japanese baseball, their individual performance is something that deserves a nickname. And the nickname that Roki Sasaki was given after he threw this 101 mile per hour pitch, after he struck out 19 over 12 innings in 190 something pitches of a single start, was Deiwa no Kaibutsu. And that, Sam, stands for the monster of the Deiwa era. And the idea that Shohei Ohtani, who might be the most talented baseball player we have ever seen, was not named the monster of the Deiwa era, and that Roki Sasaki was the one who earned that title, I think tells you everything, not just that you need to know about Sasaki, but about what Japan thinks of him.
So the next big thing coming to America from Japan might not be a baseball unicorn like Shohei Ohtani, but a once-in-a-generation starting pitcher that might actually be even bigger. And that's what Roki Sasaki is, or at least what he's going to be one day when he's ready to make the jump to Major League Baseball. But until then, we can all get a sneak preview tonight as Sasaki takes the mound for Japan against Mexico in the semifinals of the World Baseball Classic. So today, Jeff Passan tells us all about Sasaki's electric arm, as well as the almost spiritual connection he has with the game, a connection that comes in part from an unforgettable tragedy. I'm Sam Borden, in for Pablo Torre. It's Monday, March 20th, and this is ESPN Daily.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Okay, Jeff, so now that we know a little bit about the essence of Roki Sasaki, we know a little bit about his nickname, about where he came from, what makes him so special?
It's one thing, Sam, to be able to throw 101 as a high schooler or 102, 103 now as he does, but you need to be able to throw the ball over the plate. You need secondary pitches. You need to have the physical and mental fortitude to go deep into games. There's a whole bundle of things that a great starting pitcher needs to be great. And Roki Sasaki's got them all. The fastball speaks for itself, and the fact that he commands it as well as he does, it's incredible. But he's also got a secondary pitch, a split-fingered fastball, forkball, something that Japanese pitchers, whether it's Otani, Matsuzaka, or others, have come over here and been known for. His splitter is gross.
Now that splitter.
That's 3. And number 6 for Sasaki.
Like, there's just really no other way to describe it. He's throwing these things at 88, 89, 90, 91, 92 miles per hour, and they are just falling off the table. And he's not a two-pitch pitcher. He throws a slider and a curveball as well. And I talked with one person who had seen the data from a TrackMan session where it tells you not just velocity, but spin rate and spin efficiency and the angle at which the ball is spinning. And this evaluator told me if he spends a month over here working with major league pitching coaches, the slider and the curveball can be absolutely elite as well. So we're talking about perhaps the most physically gifted pitcher in the world. And saying that in a time when Jacob deGrom is alive in pitching, at a time when Otani is going out there and consistently throwing 100-mile-per-hour fastballs and splitters and sliders and curveballs himself, it speaks to just the raw talent we're talking about here with a pitcher who's only 21 years old and who still has room to get better.
You know, Jeff, it's funny. I mean, I think that whenever you bring up a Japanese pitcher, for a lot of fans, it's impossible not to think about the lineage of Japanese pitchers, particularly those that have made their way to the majors. I mean, you mentioned, obviously, we have Otani. You mentioned Daisuke Matsuzaka, Hideo Nomo going all the way back. Like, where does Sasaki fit into this sort of larger pantheon of Japanese pitchers?
As long as he stays healthy, he will be the most hyped and talented pitcher ever to make the jump to Major League Baseball. And frankly, has a chance to go down in the pantheon as the most talented pitcher in Japanese baseball history so far. He's 6'3". He's 200 pounds. He's got everything you need in order to be a great major league starter, but it's just that stuff, man. We're going to see it, and we're going to see it on American soil for the first time. And when we do, I think people are going to understand why there is so much hype around him.
Okay, Jeff, we're going to talk about how and when Sasaki might get to the majors in a little bit, but right now, Sasaki is pitching in the World Baseball Classic. What have we seen so far from him in this tournament?
He's pitched once, and in that one outing, we saw everything that Roki Sasaki can be. Now, I need to warn you, it was against the Czech Republic, and there's not a great history of baseball among Czech players. They had one former major leaguer, Eric Sogard, in their lineup, a couple of guys who had played in the minor leagues, and like their pitcher was an electrician. So
that's not a joke. Like, that's actually a real thing.
Yeah, no, he's an electrician who likes throwing baseballs. And you know what? That's awesome. But he pitched 3 2/3 innings. He struck out 8. And he allowed 1 unearned run. And it wasn't just that raw line. The average fastball, not his highest end fastball, the average velocity, Sam, on the fastball that he threw 36 times was over 100 miles per hour. 21 of those pitches were 100 miles per hour plus. You look back since 2008 when MLB began tracking all pitches using its StatCast system. There's been only one time, and that was last July with Jordan Hicks of the St. Louis Cardinals, that a pitcher has thrown more 100-plus mile-per-hour fastballs in as few pitches. Of his 66 pitches, 22 of them generated swings and misses. A full third of the pitches that Roki Sasaki threw, including a bunch of just devastating splitters, that the beauty of a split-finger fastball is it looks like a fastball, and then it just falls off the table. And to see him do this against the Czech Republic, I suppose it wasn't that big of a surprise because he is as elite as he is. But now he gets to face a better team. They're in the semifinals against Mexico. And Mexico has been performing phenomenally throughout this tournament. And it's going to be the first real challenge that Sasaki faces against elite competition. And we're going to see what he's made of.
All right, Jeff. So you mentioned that Sasaki pitches for the Chibolote Marines in Japan, where presumably he's facing actual professional baseball players and not electricians. Coming into this tournament, what had he been doing there?
So he comes out of high school and is the number one overall pick in the draft in 2019. Lotte understood. Like, this is a generational talent, and we are going to treat him with kid gloves. So all he did in 2020 was throw bullpen sessions. 2021 doesn't start the year with the big league team. Starts 5 games in the minor leagues. But when he arrived, he did so with a bang. And last year in particular was awfully interesting. In the first month of the season, Sam, Roki Sasaki threw Nippon Professional Baseball's first perfect game in 28 years. He struck out 19. At one point, he struck out 13 consecutive batters. He did all of this on only 105 pitches. And then in the next start, he comes out and throws 8 more perfect innings on 102 pitches, and Lotte pulls him before the 9th inning because they did not want to tax his arm too much and run the risk that he was going to get hurt. Now, the idea of back-to-back no-hitters from Johnny Vandermeer still boggles the mind. The ability to go out and throw back-to-back perfect games, potentially. It's inconceivable, and yet that is who he is, that's what he is, and that's what he brought.
I'm like gutted retrospectively for him, Jeff. Like, how could they not let him, one inning? How could they not let him finish?
Hey, listen, the disease of Major League Baseball pulling players from no-hit and perfect game bids has clearly made its way over to Japan. And that's just the modern times that we're dealing with. But if you want to be Dewa no Kaibutsu, if you want to be the monster of the entire Dewa era, as opposed to the first few years, then you want to make sure that the elbow and shoulder stay protected. And I think that Lotte understands Roki Sasaki is the franchise. And what he could potentially bring down the road in terms of the money that's coming back to the Chiba Lotte Marines when he does eventually go to Major League Baseball, that's something that they absolutely do not want to ruin trying to chase history in an April 2022 Nippon Professional Baseball game.
All right, Jeff, after the break, we'll get into a little bit more about where Sasaki came from and also that wa that defines him.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Jeff Passan, you have been telling us today about Japanese pitcher Roki Sasaki, the monster of the Dewa era, and what he's been through as a player. But I also want to go back into Roki's backstory. What was Sasaki's early life like?
He grew up in Iwate Prefecture, which, interestingly enough, it's the same place that Shohei Ohtani grew up in. And while it is the second largest in terms of square miles of all of Japan's prefectures, which are like states, it's 32nd in population. So it's not a densely populated city. It's more of a rural type area. And it was unfortunately the location on March 11th, 2011, of the Tohoku earthquake that struck the east coast of Japan and caused the tsunami.
Good evening. Today, 126 million people watched their world crumbling around them. The earthquake, 8.9, one of the biggest ever. And then 35 minutes later, the tsunami racing at the speed of a jumbo jet.
If you recall, Sam, this was one of the biggest natural disasters we've ever seen.
A catastrophic tsunami rising out of the Pacific, its huge waves sweeping away everything in its path, a massive wall of water that rose as high as 30 feet, swallowing up parts of Japan.
Nearly 20,000 people died.
Today's events remind us of just how fragile life can be. Our hearts go out to our friends in Japan and across the region, and we're going to stand with them as they recover and rebuild from this tragedy.
And among those who passed that day were Roki Sasaki's father and his paternal grandparents.
Wow. So, Jeff, in a lot of ways, I mean, that does connect with Sasaki's start against the Czech Republic in this World Baseball Classic. I mean, that game took place on March 11th. the National Day of Mourning in Japan, meant to remember and honor the victims of that natural disaster. What did your reporting reveal to you about his emotions on the mound that day?
I would love to use my words here to describe this, but I'm going to instead tell you what Hideki Kuriyama, who is the manager for Samurai Japan, as the Japanese national team is called. And on that day, about Roki Sasaki, he said, "He pitched every single pitch with his soul, and his performance gave us a lot of energy. I'm not talking about his velocity. It's not talking about the speed. It's hard to explain, but to me, it's as if he's throwing his soul, not the baseball."
Wow.
And Roki Sasaki-san has been hesitant to discuss what happened with his family that day, understandably so. It's a sort of tragedy that defines a person's life or can overwhelm them. He was 9 years old when he lost his father and his grandparents. And I think that baseball has been a salve for him. It's been something that he has poured his energy and his heartbreak into, and he really has embraced the concept of WA. But it's not necessarily with the team. I think that there's a symbiosis with Roki Sasaki and baseball. He's found this harmonious relationship there where he can take something that was the ultimate in sadness and he channels it into greatness. And when you watch Roki Sasaki pitch, Sam, if the word greatness isn't among the first that comes to mind, then you're just not looking at the same thing as everyone else.
It's really remarkable, and I love those words from the Japanese manager. I think everybody can understand the sentiment that he was getting at there. I remember, Jeff, in that game against the Czech Republic, there was also another incident that kind of along the lines of what you were just saying, that seemed controversial in the moment, but actually turned into something a little bit different in the way that Sasaki handled it. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened with him and William Escala on the Czech Republic?
You know, sometimes pitches get away. And when pitches get away, you can have really bad things happen, like Jose Altuve breaking his thumb when Daniel Bard hit him in the quarterfinal game between Venezuela and the United States. And you can have, dare I say, sweeter endings. William Escala got hit by 100.9 mile per hour fastball from Roki Sasaki.
Oh, that's not going to feel good. Oh, man.
At 101.
Oh, no.
I would venture to say that William Escala has probably never been hit by a 101 mile per hour fastball before. And Roki Sasaki felt so bad about it that he got like a huge bag filled with Japanese candy. Of course, Lotte of the Chiba Lotte Marines is a company that makes all kinds of candy. And
yes, all very good. All very good, I must say.
All delicious. Yeah. And he was able to take the candy, bring it over to William Escala, and apologize with both candy as well as a signed ball. The ball, in fact, that tattooed his leg.
Amazing. Well, Jeff, obviously, Sasaki is a huge story during this tournament, but there have been a lot of other fascinating storylines that have popped up during the WBC. And, you know, we'd be crazy to let you out of here without going over some of them. What has stood out for you the most during these last couple of weeks of this tournament?
It's just the energy, Sam. When you wear your country's name, there's just more meaning to it. And I've been down in Miami for the entirety of the WBC. And the first game that was played in primetime here in Miami was between the Dominican Republic and Venezuela. I didn't go as a reporter that day. I took my family and I wanted my two sons and my wife to understand what baseball culture can be like. because they've been to games at, you know, stadiums around the country, and they understand what the vibe is like there. It is completely different when the DR and Venezuela, two teams that really don't like each other very much, are playing one another. And when you have two fan bases who are so passionate about baseball, to be able to take the winter ball vibe and bring it up into the United States and to see that there and to see it in Japan, where they're getting absurd television ratings. Half the households in Japan are turning in to watch WBC games. And to see in Great Britain a classroom of kids who are acting like Harry Ford, a prospect with the Seattle Mariners who hit a couple of home runs in WBC games, and to see it in the Czech Republic even, where they got to witness what top-end baseball looks like. That's the reason the WBC exists. And so when you compare that with a much more, I think, American perspective on why the WBC may not be great. It may not be great because Jose Altuve broke his thumb and could miss 2+ months. And when you see Edwin Diaz celebrating and tearing the patellar tendon in his right knee and perhaps missing the entire season, there's that instinct of fans to say, this is just an exhibition. Is it really worth it? I talked with Edwin Diaz the 2 days before he blew out his knee. And he said, to me, this is going to feel like Game 7 of the World Series. And you Mets fan, you Astros fan, you fan of any of the other 28 Major League Baseball teams can scoff at that idea. But the reality is, this is how the players feel. They care. And when they care about something as passionately as they do about the WBC, we as fans, I think, should trust them, should trust their instinct, and should climb on board and appreciate the level of baseball that we're seeing in March.
No doubt about it. And I think you said it really well about the energy and excitement and the meaning that these games have to international players. And presumably, Sasaki feels the same way about representing Japan, and it's a point of pride for him. But obviously, he also has larger aspirations, right? He wants to follow that road that other Japanese stars have taken to the major leagues. So what comes next for Roki Sasaki?
He wants to play in Major League Baseball. When he was asked about it, he said, quote, "That is my dream," unquote. And listen, it's a dream for all 30 Major League Baseball teams, knowing that they have a shot at him. But we also have to understand the reality of this situation. And that ties back to Major League Baseball's collective bargaining agreement. And in the basic agreement, the rule that was put in place was that until you are 25 years old, the maximum that a team can pay for a player who is from an international country, even if he's been a professional, even if he's played in NPB or the Cuban National Series or Korea, the most a player can receive in a signing bonus is what the team's international bonus pool is, and that's under $6 million. You can trade for some more money to get it to like $10 million, but compared to what any of these guys would command on the open market, it's pennies. Now, Shohei Ohtani wanted to play in MLB so bad, he said, okay, that's fine. I'll sign for $2.3 million, and that's enough for me. On the other hand, there's a guy like Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who the last 2 years has won the Sawamura Award, which is Japan's equivalent of the Cy Young Award. And Roki Sasaki is not going to be 25 until after the 2026 season. That is a long time between now and then. In baseball years particularly, when the greatest correlation between an arm injury and one other factor is how hard you throw. So Sasaki could come over before then. If he does, he will get to choose where he goes and will sign for a relative pittance and will go down the same path as Ohtani did. But if he waits and he stays healthy and he performs like he has, Sam, we're looking at a guy who's going to come over at 25 years old, be a free agent, and make $300 million?
Jeez. All right, Jeff. So the potential $300 million payday is still a couple of years down the line, presumably. But tonight, Roki Sasaki is pitching for Japan against Mexico in the semifinals of the WBC. We know that the United States beat Cuba on Sunday night, and so the Americans are waiting in the championship game. What do you expect to see from Sasaki in this big game, this massive game against Mexico?
I mean, it's arguably the biggest game of his career, right? I expect to see a very full scouting section at Lone Depot Park here in Miami because I think everyone in baseball understands what Roki Sasaki can be, but also what he is right now. And they want to see, especially evaluators, how he performs when the pressure is on, when half the country is going to be watching, when the entire world is going to have its eyes on him. Who is he? Is he the monster of the Dewa era? Is he able to step up and pitch like one of the best players in the entire world? Or is this introduction to him going to be a disappointment? And I think that when you talk with people who have seen him pitch in Japan before, they are universal in their assessment that he's as talented as anyone. And we're just going to get to see if that talent translates to this one particular game that means so much, not just for him, but for his country. Japanese baseball supremacy was evident early in the World Baseball Classic. They won the initial tournament in 2006. They came back and repeated again in 2009. This is the fifth incarnation, and not winning each of the last two times has left Samurai Japan the most dominant team in this tournament so far, 5-0, nary a blemish on their record, really wanting more. And so to go with Sasaki over Yamamoto for the start, I think speaks to what Hideki Kuriyama, the manager of Samurai Japan, really thinks of him. Like, remember, Yoshinobu Yamamoto has won two consecutive Sawamura Awards. He has been deemed the best pitcher in Japan each of the last two seasons. And still, Kuriyama went with Sasaki for this game. And the potential to face the United States in the finals, the defending champions, the country that really is the best representative of elite baseball around the world, I think that means everything. And to beat the U.S. in the finals would just be the coup de grace for Japan.
Jeff Passan, you are the Kibutsu of Major League Baseball coverage in America. There's no doubt about it. And I promise that the next time we talk, I will bring you two bags of candy for sure. Guaranteed.
Better be Lotte brand candy, Sam.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Sam Borden. This has been ESPN Daily. We'll talk to you tomorrow.